Welcome to the Georgia Bulldogs Podcast, your only source on the web for exclusive content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network, historic game rewinds, and original programming from the Bulldogs. Now, here's this week's episode of Bulldogs Live with Coach Tom Crean. The following is a presentation of the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network. On the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network, welcome to Bulldogs Live. For the next 2 hours, we're talking dogs basketball. Now, here's your host, the voice of the Bulldogs, Scott Howard.
Hi again, everyone, from the campus of the University of Georgia. Welcome to Bulldogs Live with men's basketball head coach Tom Crean. We'll hear from the Dogs head coach in just a moment as he'll answer your questions tonight. You can submit your questions anytime during the week on multiple social media platforms. Simply use the hashtag Ask Coach Crean with your questions, and we could use them here on Bulldogs Live. It was a tough week for the Dogs. Georgia lost a road game at Florida and a home game to Alabama. The Dogs are now 2-8 in the SEC and 12-11 overall. Georgia hopes to make up some ground in the conference race this week when they host South Carolina Wednesday night in Athens. It'll be the first of two games with the Gamecocks in the regular season. Georgia will then travel to Texas A&M for a Saturday game this week. That's in College Station, Texas, as the Dogs go for the series sweep of the Aggies. Game time Wednesday night at Stegman Coliseum for Georgia and South Carolina is 6:30. Airtime on the Bulldogs Sports Network will be 6:05 p.m. Saturday's contest at Texas A&M is set for a 3:30 Eastern time tip with coverage starting at 3:05 here on the Bulldogs Sports Network. Dogs head coach Tom Crean is here, and we'll get to your questions for him in just a couple of minutes. We'll also talk with women's basketball head coach Joni Taylor after her Lady Bulldogs defeated Florida yesterday in Gainesville. Gymnastics head coach Courtney Coupetz-Carter will be here tonight, and Bulldogs baseball head coach Scott Strickland stops by. The Dogs will play their season opener against Richmond this Friday night at Foley Field. So plenty lined up for you in the second hour of our show tonight as well. Our producers and engineers for Bulldogs Live are Adam Gillespie in Athens, John Essick in the Learfield IMG College Network Studios. Thanks for being here tonight. Bulldogs Live with Coach Tom Crean will continue right after this on the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Bulldogs Live. Once again, here's your host, the voice of the Bulldogs, Scott Howard.
Welcome back to Bulldogs Live with Coach Tom Crean. Thanks for tuning in tonight. Georgia back at it on Wednesday to host South Carolina. Coach Crean is here. Tom, good to see you. How are you?
You too. I'm good. I'm good. Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit about your team. And you know, Saturday was another difficult situation, I guess. It was an exciting game from a scoring standpoint. I guess fans, you know, you like to see that kind of a game. It was a high-scoring game, back and forth, a lot of action, a lot of energy. But unfortunately, Georgia came out on the back end.
No, we didn't. We had the chance to put the hammer down a couple of times, and we didn't. We go back to when we were up 12, and we had some turnovers, and we settled for some jump shots. And there's a lot of hard things for a young team to understand, but how to just put it away. Right, and I'm not sure we're not going to put it away up 12 necessarily, and it's going to be over. But you're going to make a dent,
right?
And we allowed them to get back in. The turnovers allowed them to get back in. The quick threes. We just got to be a smarter basketball team. You know, when we're calling an action, when we've called something, just because you're open doesn't mean shoot it. All right, let's get it inside. Let's get in the paint. And those are the kind of things that we've got to get. We got to get better at. And that's a maturity aspect of it. But really, at the end of the day, we did not defend the dribble well enough. We're one possession away from winning the game, right? And what we've got to do is we've got to bear it down. We were one possession away from games last year, and we had four games late in February that were decided by 9 points. And a lot of these guys obviously weren't here for that. But what we've got to do is we've got to bear it down. And it's like I said last year, we get three more stops in a game. Okay, that's probably going to turn into at least one or two more baskets, okay? But at the very least, you get those stops, you get them taken care of, you're putting yourself in a chance, with a chance to win. We've got to have a much deeper commitment of grit, perseverance, individual pride, team talk, whatever you want to bill it, of getting stops. Don't let your man get by you as easily as we are. You know, whether it's man, whether it's zone, whatever it is. And that's where our awareness has got to pick up. That's where our grit's got to pick up. And that's where our commitment's got to pick up.
You had a practice earlier tonight, just before the show. How did that go?
It was basically, I don't want to call it a training camp practice, but it was very much when everybody walked out of there, they knew what the theme of it was, and it's the accountability that you've got to have defensively. And it's not all one-on-one defense. It's not all two-on-two. It's a build-up. It's a process. It's a commitment to guarding the ball better, being in the gaps, giving better help, eliminating some things that we have a team at times. I mean, it's the difference between a good team and a really good team. Between being an average team and a really good team is when you're average, you switch out of convenience. You switch out of indecisiveness. You make excuses about why you did something, why you didn't do something. That's average to below average. We've got to build more accountability into our defense. We've got to build more accountability into the individual play. And it's not a situation where we can just continue to let guys make mistakes. If you're making defensive mistakes and giving up points, there better be some really, really valuable things that you're bringing in other areas of the game, not just on offense, when it comes to the rebounding, things of that nature. But we don't have one guy, like I said to them, we don't have one guy that can't guard the ball better. We don't have one guy that can't talk better. And we don't have one coach led by me that can't coach better. And the coaching starts with what kind of accountability we're going to have defensively.
Do you have any good on-ball defenders right now in your estimation?
Yeah, I think we do. We don't have enough committed defenders. I don't think committed when your lungs are hurting and your legs are burning and you're tired. And we're asking a lot. And unfortunately, a lot of this would have been – Anthony didn't have his normal energy level the other day. I mean, it wasn't even close.
Right.
And he just didn't. He played Wednesday. We walked through with about seven of them on Thursday, so there was no up and down for him on Thursday. All of a sudden, he gets sick on Friday in the middle of the night, Friday morning. So he doesn't practice on Friday, does very little on the walkthrough on Saturday, and then he doesn't have the same level of energy in the game. I mean, we weren't sure he was going to play, right? And you're going to play him. I mean, there's a lot of value to playing Anthony Edwards, but he didn't have his normal energy level because at times there's nobody that can get by him. When he puts his mind to it, and this is something that he is going to have to develop quicker, if he wants to be a great player at an early stage in his life, he's going to have to commit to this quicker rather than later. And is to just bear down and do it consistently because he's got it in him. Body, quickness, speed, intelligence, the whole thing. He's got it in him. And Sabir got tired in the game. And we played Sabir too many minutes inside of that game because he did a lot of really good things. But Sabir needs blows too because he's guarding, you know, a very fast guy. He's playing very fast. He's playing very efficient. We've got to get him more blows so he's at his best. You know, you don't know what's going into overtime in that situation, but it happened. But those two can be very good at it. There's no reason Jordan Harris can't guard better. And frankly, there's no reason that Rayshon Hammonds and Tamani Kamara can't guard better. They're giving up too much ground right now. They retreat passively rather than aggressively when you're guarding the ball, right? And so much of it right now, you're passive when you drop your foot and your foot goes backwards, right? You're aggressive when you step your foot out and you cut the dribble off. Doesn't mean they're passive people. It means they're guarding passively, right? And we can't do that, okay? We've got to be reactive as you drop your foot, proactive as you get the first step out there. And so we work on that every day. Today we put a little more emphasis on it because it's something that's got to get better and better and better with this team. So I could keep naming guys, but until that commitment and that gritty, nasty demeanor that says you're not scoring on me in that situation, or I'm not going to lose my mind and just worry about my man over here in the corner and not be in a gap here to help you, until those things change, we're not going to get better defensively, but we're going to work diligently to get those things fixed.
Well, one thing about Tumani is he will take a charge.
He will, but he's retreating too much. He's backing up too much. He's not aggressive enough when he needs to be. And he's got to – we've had issues all year long with Tumani being a talker with a communicator. We're asking a lot of him, right? And he can be very, very good. What I told him the other night is we can't have games where you're not shooting free throws, right? Like you're too athletic. You're too quick. I mean, we can't have that. But at the same time, we can't have it be, you know, I have high goals for him defensively, you know, much like we had him with Nick Claxton. And look how that turned out, right? Now, Nick Claxton and Tumani Kamara are different size kids, but they really, you know, that ability to guard multiple people is key. And if Rayshon Hammonds wants to take the next step as a player, and like for real, then he's got to do a better job with that. Ray's got to, when we defend the post with a front, he's got to front the post. When it comes to a switch, he's got to switch. He's got to stay down in a stance and play with more aggressiveness. And that's not anything that I don't say to them consistently, but the accountability's got to go up with that. And if it does, if the accountability doesn't go up, then who's playing's got to change.
This is Bulldogs Live with Georgia basketball head coach Tom Crean, and we welcome your questions as you want to send them in anytime during the week. Hashtag Ask Coach Crean is the way you get them to us on any social media platform, and we'll stick them in front of the coach on Monday night. We've got a list of questions for Tom coming up here in just a moment. We want to remind you, Bulldog fans, to shop the UGA Bookstore for the best in Georgia gear next to Sanford Stadium or online 24/7 at ugabookstore.com. The UGA Bookstore, it's where the dogs shop. We'll come back for your questions for Coach Crean right after this on the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network. This is Bulldogs Live with Coach Tom Crean. Georgia basketball Wednesday night and in Athens at Stegman Coliseum, Georgia and South Carolina. It'll be a 6:30 tip time. 6:05 is our air time here on the Bulldog Sports Network. We hope you join us. It's time for your questions for Coach Crean, and we'll start with Tom in Buford, Coach, and he wants to know if last week's was one of the highest scoring games you've ever been a part of.
Probably. And I didn't think, in all honesty, we played that great offensively, and especially when we got up 12. But I'm more stuck on the fact that we didn't guard that dribble very well, so it's hard for me to find a lot of positives out of the points. But we didn't lose the game because of offense. We shot 52%, but unfortunately they shot, I think, 52-53% and shot a little bit better in the overtime. But, you know, the only thing that was hard to swallow in that game is we didn't shoot more free throws. And it would have been even higher scoring. But I thought there was definitely validation for us to shoot more free throws. It just didn't work out that way. And that was tough. But bottom line is we've just got to guard better.
John in Watkinsville had a question about Sahvir Wheeler's confidence in driving to the rim. Can you talk a little bit about
that? It's high, and he's improving his shooting. It's very high, and we love to get him in the middle of the floor. We'll probably see some zone on Wednesday night from South Carolina. We still got to get him in there, right? We've got to be able to attack and get in the middle of the floor, and Sahvir is very good at that, and he's making his layups. When he lifts his eyes and finishes high with extension, he makes his layups. You know, when he tries to shoot it over somebody sometimes or drops his head, he's not as effective. And he's another guy that should be shooting more free throws. He and Anthony should be shooting more free throws based on – if you just look at the – it's really hard to fathom that they're not, especially with how much that we drive it, especially with how much Sahvir drives it and how much Anthony did the other night. And one of the goals that we put out there for Anthony at the beginning of the year was to be able to shoot at least 10 free throws a game. Well, we're getting more and more of the drives, and we're just not getting to that free throw level that it's got to be. But Sahvir is doing a much better job of making a read if he doesn't have the shot or not, keeping the dribble alive when he drives it, if it's not there, and then finding that next pass.
Does he have to alter his body a little bit or protect the ball in a different way to prevent when he goes inside from getting blocked because of his size?
Yeah, probably, but we don't try to go in there and attack the big guy, and that's something that he's done pretty well in his past. We teach them to get by that second defender.
And he does a good job of
that. Yeah, he's getting better at that. And get by means you may not have the shot, you just got to keep the dribble up. What Sahvir is a quick learner, very quick learner. And obviously has really good intelligence and great character and he's played a lot of winning basketball. You know, that's a big, big part of why he's good. He's played a lot of winning basketball. His mom and dad have raised him so well. And he's played for really good coaches in high school and AAU, in fact, for his dad for many years. So he's raised so well in that area. But what you don't know until you get him is how quick he learns things and how quick he pings things up, because you don't know him like that till you get with him, and we're really seeing that. So he can make pretty good adjustments. What we don't want him to be is stubborn or bullheaded when it comes, well, I think I can make this play. No, take what the defense is giving you, because you're quick enough, fast enough, crafty enough to make something happen from it.
Andrea in Douglasville, Georgia. Where do you think our youth shows the most? She asks.
We don't have enough time on this show, but I would say, I would just say,
kind of some of the things we've been talking about.
Yeah,
right?
No question. I would say, the value of time and score. The value of time and score. I think that's one of the hardest things. There's so many things that are hard to get young guys to break. Moving without the ball, playing harder longer, multiple efforts, multiple possessions. But playing time and score, because there's been so much basketball that they have played that you would think it would be a little more natural to know on that time and score, but there's always another game, especially in the summertime. There's another game that night. Right, and that's so hard to fathom. Man, we got to win this game, and time and score. You don't sit there and say, "Okay, we got to win this game." Right? You're like, "What's the time and score situation? Making the right reads and the right decisions in a time and score situation." I would say it'd be the biggest.
Yeah, probably most of those kids have, I mean, rarely been in that situation, haven't they? I mean, they're
it's the value of it.
It's winning, winning based on their talent. And their
skill. The value of possessions, right? I mean, I guess we could sum it up that way, time and score. The value of possessions and each possession being an entity into itself. And so it just takes time for guys to learn that. And they've always been able to get away with, well, I'm going to try this or I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And that's not what winning basketball is. Winning basketball is making the play that's there at that particular point, and you just got to go through it. It's a huge part of maturity. It's a huge part of experience. It's a huge part of playing multiple games. You say, well, they played all these games in high school. So what? It's a whole different deal now because they're really, unless somebody was really, really fudging the birth certificates, they weren't playing against 22 and 21-year-olds in high school or AAU, right? They're playing against 23, 22, 21, 20-year-olds. And it's a whole different maturity level, body level, physical level that they're dealing with. So decision-making is not even close to what it was when they were coming up.
Andrea in Douglasville, good question tonight. We appreciate it. Hashtag Ask Coach Crean is how you get your question to us on any social media platform. And, Dog fans, we remind you to tune in Sunday nights at midnight for Tom Crean All Access on WSB TV Channel 2. You get an up-close look at this year's men's basketball team, so check it out. It's Sunday night at midnight, WSB TV Channel 2, Tom Crean All Access, or anytime on demand on GeorgiaDogs.com. We'll come back for more of your questions for the coach. Georgia and South Carolina playing Wednesday in Athens, 6:30 for the Bulldogs and the Gamecocks. Don't forget about that. And we'll be back right after this on the Bulldog Sports Network.
Thanks for listening to Bulldogs Live. Here again, Scott Howard.
This is Bulldogs Live with Georgia basketball coach Tom Crean. Your questions, welcome anytime during the week with the hashtag AskCoachCrean on social media platforms. That's how you get them to us. Will in Athens, coach, is asking about the environment in Stegman Coliseum during the, last week, I guess most recently, the Alabama game. Another packed house, over 10,000 folks in the building. It's hard to beat that atmosphere.
I thought it was fantastic, as usual. I mean, just absolutely great. And I was really concerned, I said this after the game, about how our energy level would be at the start with Ray having some headaches that he got during, but I think pretty much they started during warm-ups, and then Anthony being sick. And we didn't start out great, but our fans did. And they helped us get going, and they were fantastic. And it's just making such a difference. Recruits are noticing it. It's fantastic. And we just need to keep building on that because that's how we build this program to where it's got to be. And I know we're having some tough days, but we wouldn't be in these situations of being able to play at this level if we didn't have such a great crowd, to be honest with you, with how quick a young team can get down. And bottom line is the fans have been fantastic, and we needed to stay at this high level.
How much of you mentioned the recruits are noticing the atmosphere. How much do they talk to you about that?
I bring it up to them.
Is that for them?
I think it's a big thing. I bring it up to them to make sure that they understand how different it is according to what people will tell me, right? And then they can just tell. I mean, when you look at the numbers, and then I'm basing that on experience of what other people have, not necessarily my experience, because fans have been fantastic. But then I think it's up to the other people that look at it, and man, this is definitely different. And that's where the coaches can step in and other people, the players, those kind of people can step in and say, this is different. This is why this is really working.
I don't think I've asked you all season long about the guys you signed in November. Can you Tell us off the top of your head, you know, the guys that will be coming in next season and maybe how they're doing right now in their games.
Well, I think we'll start with the two junior college players at Eastern Florida, Jonathan Nett and Michael Starks. They had both missed some time due to injury. Michael has missed some time with a high ankle sprain, I think it is. So his scoring is not there the way that it could be. But in a couple of his first games back, he had 14 assists in two games. And Jonathan Nett can shoot the ball. He can rebound the ball. He's long and athletic. I think Michael Starks can be a very good shooter. The two high school players, Josh Taylor, is doing a very good job at Norcross. He's rebounding the ball. He's scoring. You know, one of the things that we thought rebounding does transfer, it transfers levels. It can transfer from high school to college, college to pro. It's a proven fact, right? And I thought that, you know, definitely looking at our team, knowing that we are going to have to rebound the ball better with guys that actually – that do it pretty naturally. And I think Josh can do that. And I think he'll get better and better as a scorer. And then Katie Johnson's having a phenomenal year and a nationally recognized year. And at Hargrave Military. He's from Southwest DeKalb. And he moved to Hargrave for a year. You know, it's been good for him. Every time I see a picture, he's in his military uniform. He's still getting up at 6 for, you know, roll call.
And some discipline.
Yeah, and making sure his clothes are – his shoes are polished and his clothes are ironed and his bed is made and his foot locker is good. You know, those discipline things are so good, right? And, you know, how you have to be in school, and it's really helping him academically, but he's doing some phenomenal things on the court. And that's what I think is exciting. And I think he's going to impact our team. And we've got more recruiting to do. You know, we're active in it right now. So we don't have any illusions that we won't be signing more players.
Yeah, Walt in Covington has a question about that. His question is, does recruiting ever sleep, and how much does the staff recruit in season?
Yeah, no, I don't know if it really sleeps. I think you don't want it to. I think you want it to be high level. I think what happens is, I was saying this to a friend of mine the other day. It's always been there's a period of time that you've got to learn the landscape, whether you learn the landscape of where you live, right? Your school, like this, the area you live in, the league you're in, what works academically, what works basketball-wise, right? And so you get into it, and then you start to look at, okay, now let's not trick ourselves. This is what we've got to do, right? This is what we have to do. This is what we're going to need to win in this league. This is what we're going to need to succeed at Georgia. This is the kind of character and work ethic and desire academically that we've got to have, not just because we've got good structure, but because they really want to do it, right? And we got to make sure we're not getting tricked on that, right? You've got to get people that understand you're playing for Georgia, you're going to school to have this Georgia education just permeate through your life when you leave. And there's really no reason that it shouldn't, right? Even if you leave early, there's no reason that it shouldn't. That it shouldn't be a big part of your life, and finding people that fit that. And we've just got to continue to do that. And I think as you get into a league for 2 years, you realize, well, you know what? I knew we were going to need this. I knew we were going to need that. This we probably got to get more of because these teams all really do this or they do that. And I think that just becomes part of it. You know, college basketball is not just one universal landscape of everybody playing the same way. Leagues get reputations for a reason. Leagues have success for a reason, right? And you have to be able to understand, okay, how are we going to be different? How are we going to gain an edge? But how are we going to be able to beat the people at their strengths? And that's what we've got to continue to work hard on in recruiting and make those judgments.
You know, one of the guys that kind of lives by that philosophy was just inducted into the Circle of Honor this past weekend in Jarvis Hayes. I mean, he's kind of lived by that philosophy, came through the University of Georgia, and it's paid a lot of benefits.
It's a great
for
example.
Him.
You're right. I mean, tremendous respect all the way across the board that people have for him. Same with Jonas, as a student, as a basketball player, as a winner, as somebody that's taken this education and done something with it afterwards, as great character. As judged by, I wasn't there because we had our meetings, the reaction, everybody's talking about he and his mother that night at the event. You know, that's a special thing. And we just got to continue to build that. It's a different time. I mean, I will say that. It's a much different time in college sports, and not just in college basketball, but in college sports in general, with how easy it is for people to leave, how easy it is for them to transfer, how easy it is for them to be talked out of being somewhere, how easy it is to go pro. You know, all those different things make it harder. but you've got to get somebody that you will continue to understand, listen, this education is valuable, right? What I'm learning here is valuable. What I can take from this is valuable, but I'm not taking anything from a school if I can't add to it. And I'm not just adding to a school because I can play basketball or play football or play soccer. I'm adding to a school because of what I can bring to this academically, what I can bring to my classes, and what I can bring to not only my teammates, but my classmates. And that's what you're trying to get across to people all the time. You are not just a part of the wall, man. Be in the middle of the room, right? Be in the middle of the room. Be there and be active. And that's what we're trying to get across.
This is Bulldogs Live with Coach Tom Crean. And if you miss any of the coach's comments tonight, not to worry. You can tune into the Bulldogs podcast. You'll receive exclusive on-demand audio content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network, including the show you're listening to right now, Bulldogs Live. So subscribe and download the podcast. That's PAWDcast. Today, go ahead and do it right now, and you won't forget about it. So, and don't forget about to come back after this timeout. We'll take a break and come back for more of your questions for Coach Crean right after this on the Bulldog Sports Network. Bulldogs Live with Coach Tom Crean. Thanks for joining us tonight. Hashtag Ask Coach Crean. Get your question to us. Georgia's next outing will be Wednesday night. Dogs host South Carolina, Stegman Coliseum, 6:30 for the tip for the Bulldogs and the Gamecocks. We're with you at 6:05 for our coverage of Bulldogs basketball. Hope you join us. Our next question comes from Nathan in Valdosta. And, Coach, he wants to know if extra free throws are mandatory every practice.
Well, we shoot free throws. We shoot free throws a lot, and there's no doubt about that. So
I'd like to shoot them more, but
I like it to be coached. I would like to shoot them more in the middle of practice, but I don't like to take that amount of time all the time in the middle of practice. But we definitely make sure that we're shooting. And this is, you know, one of my big things is it's never a time for the coaches to huddle and go get water. And every free throw is being coached, right? Every one of them. And maybe you say nothing, but that's part of coaching because they shot it right. Maybe you say good job. But we want the free throw shooting, and that starts with me. You know, we want the free throw shooting to be high level every day in practice so that carries over into the games, and we've got to get better there.
Do you build that technique around each individual player, or is there a certain way that you like to
see it? Well, there is. There's certain things, but there's certain things when it comes to weight shift. There's certain things when it comes to follow through. We have a lot of left-handers. I think it's a little different. But everybody's got a little bit of something. We have different routines, and we want that routine to be what they are comfortable with, and they help own it, right? But at the same time, we're going to have one, and I think that's important for us is to make sure we do have a routine.
How important, you mentioned the left-handers, how important is it for guys to be able to play with both hands almost equally as well?
Well, we're a little weak there right now. That was one of the things that Nick Claxton got so much better at a year ago. We're a little weak in that area. And that's something that we strive for, but we don't have as many weak hand finishers right now. We've got to continue to build on that and work on that. And because it certainly helps you win, but it helps players move up the ladder in their game, you know. And at the end of the day, if you can really only play off one hand, then you really better be able to make that basket, right? Because it puts you at a disadvantage. And so that's something that we address, that we work on, and we've got to make sure that we continue to improve that, because it only enhances their future when they can do it.
Paul in Sandy Springs sent in this question: who is the best dunker you've ever coached?
Oh, I don't know. Best dunker I've ever coached.
Is that even something that registers
with
you?
Not really. I'd have to think about that. You know, there's power dunkers. There's quick dunkers. These things get podcasts. So, like, I'll hurt some players' feelings. So as much as I'd like to answer that question, I'd like a group of players to think they were the best without me having to separate one or two of them. So,
all right,
sorry.
Randy and Lilburn wants
on the team. I'll go right now with Jordan Harris and Anthony Edwards on this team. Who am I missing? Rodney Howard is a quick dunker, and I think that's eventually going to play out into and how he plays.
Well, to Monty's first, you know, your first three baskets were dunks by him the other night.
But I hold him to a little bit different standard, so he needs to do more, even more, with that right hand. But I'll put him in the top three. I'll put Tamani in the top three. We have higher expectations for him.
Randy's question, he's from Lilburn. He wants to know how much you interact with other coaches in the league.
Oh, I think it just depends on the time of year. You know, it's nice when you get a text after a win or after a loss, especially, you know, when somebody in the league and it comes out of nowhere. That's good. I try to do that some. I try to, if I see something in an article that I see, you know what, this might be good for so-and-so, I'll send it. I think there's a brethren part of it to that. But I'll give an example. It's John Calipari's birthday today. I sent him a text this morning, right? And he sent one back. You know, so it's a little – I don't think it's anything routine. I don't think it's anything that is overly, you know, I don't have a check mark list. Hey, let me hit so-and-so today. I think it's just more like it's organic and it's how it comes to you. But I have respect for the coaches. There's no doubt about that. And I would say this, after our game here a week ago with Texas A&M, as a head coach, I've never had anybody after the game talk to the press about me the way Buzz Williams did, and I let him know that. I really appreciated that. And obviously we work together, so we have some family to each other. And you know, as I like to say, Buzz is one of me, right? You know, he was part of us, you know, before I ever got here, right? So there's Georgia, then there's the past, right? And so I really, really appreciated that, because that doesn't happen every day.
And the Dogs will be at Texas A&M Saturday, hosting South Carolina on Wednesday. So that's the schedule for the week. And we'll come back for more of your questions for Coach Crean as we continue here with Bulldogs Live after this timeout on the Bulldogs Sports Network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Bulldogs Live. Once again, here's your host, the voice of the Bulldogs, Scott Howard.
This is Bulldogs Live. Coach Tom Crean is here. We're taking your questions. Hashtag Ask Coach Crean. And our next one is, let's see, Emory in Decatur, Alabama. How much strength and conditioning is the team doing this time of year, Coach?
Well, when we started our radio show, they were downstairs doing it. And there's no question we're going to do it on 2 days before, definitely. Some days we'll adjust. We're trying to get three in a week right now. We got to make sure that we're getting that. You know, that's a huge, huge part of it. And we want to continue to build our athleticism. We want to continue to build our strength. You know, we have to be careful how we do that. But at the same time, we want to make sure that it gets done. And so three times a week is what we're shooting for.
Charles in Augusta, Georgia, what is the key to finishing strong in league play?
We got to get better defensively. We just really do. I don't think there's any way around it. And we've got to have more of a commitment, an individual pride and commitment to that. And definitely we've got to build team defense, and we have. I mean, a week ago we played very good defense, I thought, against Texas A&M. But and we've had moments where we played very good defense. But what coincides is our defense lets down when our offense lets down, and we can't have that. The other night our offense wasn't letting down and our defense let down. And we've just got to bear down, and if it means playing more guys, it means playing more guys. If it means playing less guys, it means playing less guys. But there's got to be a better accountability to how you're going to guard. And individual determination, all right, and that team behind me talk, that's got to be there. And that's what we've just got to continue to do.
And that's been an ongoing issue for you, because you've talked about that since day one.
Yeah, it's an ongoing issue throughout college basketball in so many areas. But the teams that figure it out the best usually get better this month. And they win. And we don't want to take our speed away on offense. I mean, we can become an even better offensive team with better speed defensively. I mean, better accountability defensively. Increase that speed. And probably play with more speed defensively. So those are the things that we have to do. And every chance, the players a lot of times are telling you what they need, in a sense, if they're moving fast, if they're not moving fast. But at the same time, you've got to look at them and say, okay, is this an effort thing, right? And if it's an effort thing, you got to get it corrected. You cannot correct an effort thing in the game, right? You correct an effort thing in practice. If the effort is not there in the game, then that player's got to come out of the game, and we'll correct it in practice. And I think that's what we've got to continue to look at even better now.
Bulldogs Live with Coach Tom Crean. We'll step aside for just a moment to catch up a little bit on time and come back for one more segment with the coach. That's next here on the Bulldog Sports Network. We'll be right back. It's Bulldogs Live with Coach Tom Crean. Georgia hosts South Carolina Wednesday night at 6:30 at Stegman Coliseum. Travels to Texas A&M on Saturday. Those are the next two games on the schedule. Let's get back to a few more questions before we get out of here tonight. Coach Val in Elberton, Georgia, wants to know who is the best ball handler on the team?
Oh, Sevier. Yeah, Sevier is. And Anthony, when he is right there, when he gets that ball out in front of him. You know, what we're trying to get Anthony to do is not dribble to the side as much as get on an attack and use those just unbelievably strong and quick shoulders that he has, right? But I'd say Sevier.
How many dribbling skills do you do, and is that still done in practice?
Not as much. We inside out, hesitation, crossovers. Those are big for us. Those are definitely big for us. Changing direction without changing hands, changing speed, and then really attacking the second defender. Those are the type of things that separation. Those are the kind of things that are huge. But it's not an abundance of dribble moves. And there's combination dribbles, things of that nature. We try to mix that in. And at the same time, we're trying to make sure that we're getting a lot of shooting in so that we're not wasting dribbles, that we're ready for our catch and shoots so that we don't even have to dribble it. We've created some pace by getting the ball down the court or getting the ball past the defender, getting it downhill, boom, here comes the help, make the kick. But those are the moves we're looking for.
There's not really enough time in the day to get all that in.
Not everything. Not everything. I mean, not everything. I mean,
there's so much to do and so little time to do it.
You could 5-minute a lot of things, but then are you really getting better at it in 5 minutes? And we had some good 5-minute situations today that we worked on. But it's hard to get everything in this time of year, especially when you're trying to make sure that they understand why we're losing games. And that's the defensive part of it that's huge.
About a minute to go. Brian in Winterville, Georgia, wants to know if you know Frank Martin well at all.
Oh, yeah, I like Frank a lot. I've known him a very long time. And one of my best friends is on his staff, Chuck Martin, who worked with us at Indiana. So, no, I think Frank Martin's fantastic. He's a heck of a human being, tremendous coach, self-made guy, a big heart, and where he's been as a coach, from being in high school in Miami to Kansas State to South Carolina, Northeastern along the way, just phenomenal what he's done.
Can you give us a quick scouting report in about 15 seconds?
They're one of the toughest teams in the league. They try to make every possession. Now, what they are is fast. They're a lot faster than what they've been in the past, but they're fast, they're big, they're strong, and they try to make every possession a physical battle for you. And we have got to play with speed. We have got to play with movement. We cannot settle. And at the end of the day, we got to come guard them like crazy.
Coach, thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks to everybody else. Go Dawgs.
All right, that's Coach Tom Crean. We'll continue with more Bulldogs Live right after this on the Bulldog Sports Network.
Thanks for listening to the Georgia Bulldogs podcast, your only source on the web for exclusive content from the Georgia Bulldogs Sports Network. Historic game rewinds and original programming from the Bulldogs. Make sure you comment, subscribe, and rate this programming to continue to receive the best in Bulldogs content. Go Dawgs!